Siskiyou County Supervisors have convened, and
let's see, Supervisor Chris.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I had to open my notes. Pastor Bradley.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful today to be able to be here. I want to express our gratitude for the rain that we've had that's truly helped with the fire situation. We continue to lift up our firefighters and all those who have been participating and protecting our communities. What a tremendous job they have done, and we are truly grateful for that. I want to pray for each of the Board of Supervisors today and their families, Father, as they give their time to conduct business for the county, and for all of the staff who work diligently to make things happen that need to take place. Truly, we're grateful, and we just express our gratitude for all who serve in every capacity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Roll call.
Alrighty. Let's see, Supervisor Chris.
Here in person.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Here.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
Supervisor Haupt.
Present.
And it appears Supervisor Kopseff is absent.
Yes, ma'am.
And will be absent for the day, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to go to presentations from the public. Time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. And when addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair, and comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of this board. So, since we don't have any public in our meeting in the chambers, we'll go to the online public comments. Please press star 9 on your phone if you want to be recognized.
Ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Robin Richards, you may unmute. It is your turn to speak.
Good morning.
Okay. Good morning, Chairman Haupt. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Well, Chairman Haupt and honorable members of the Board of Supervisors, my name is Robin Richards, and I live in Wairika. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Let me share with you a list. Smallpox, rabies, tetanus, typhoid fever, TB, diphtheria, whooping cough, yellow fever, polio, measles, mumps, rubella, and chickenpox. All of these diseases have been eliminated or close to it with vaccines. Vaccines work. As you should know, Siskiyou County has experienced a significant increase in COVID cases, and there have been many deaths in the last month. Everyone must get vaccinated. As our Board of Supervisors, you must provide representation for the public good. And right now, you're doing a poor job of representing all of us. We want leaders who actually lead for the benefit of everyone. Support us by supporting public health practices that have a long history of success. Heck, you might even start out by supporting mask wearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller.
Alice Richards, you may unmute. It is your turn to speak.
Thank you.
Good morning.
My name is Alice Rogers. Yesterday, I read a headline. California has lowest COVID-19 case rate in U.S. Yet instead of feeling happiness, relief, or even hopeful, I was angry that here in Siskiyou County, cases are soaring. California has experts who give guidelines to keep us safe and combat COVID-19, but we do not benefit from that information as our local leaders either ignore the advice or worse, do the opposite. From LaMalfa in Congress and our state representatives, Megan and Brian Daly, we hear silence or misinformation. 4 of you supervisors actually sent a letter to the governor against requiring healthcare workers to get the vaccine, while our sheriff refuses to enforce mandates. Due to the outrageous actions of our leaders, we are suffering and moving backwards. I check the daily reports and see a rapid increase of cases and deaths that follow. Our representatives say choice for vaccines, Yet the state's giving choice are in very serious trouble, with some of them rationing health care and seeing the case and death numbers rising, including in their children. Shasta and Tehama County are making headlines for their high COVID numbers. Is this what we want for Siskiyou County? There are consequences for bad choices, and we see it playing out every day. We know what works: masks and vaccines. County with high vaccination rates have lower case rates. If we want to open up, we need to get people vaccinated and transmissions down. We cannot just pretend that this crisis is over. Our neighbors are getting sick and dying. California has the lowest COVID case rates in the country, not because of us, but despite us dragging the numbers down. Our elected officials are supposed to work to protect us. They are failing. To our Board of Supervisors, I say, stop playing politics. It is costing lives. Speak up and tell your constituents, in order to protect our children, our community, and our economy, put on a mask and get vaccinated. We need Siskiyou County to catch up with the rest of the state and get out of this mess. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller.
Catherine, you may unmute. It is your turn to speak.
Good morning.
My name is Catherine Shelton, and I'm Moody. I'm here because I'm concerned about the explosion of coronavirus cases in the county and the stress it's putting on our hospitals. And I'm concerned that our local leaders are capitulating to a hostile, loud, misinformed minority. I would like to remind you that you have a moral duty not only to protect the public health, but to speak the truth to your constituents. Truth is, this pandemic is real. It's killing people. It's putting tremendous strain on our public resources and our economy. And there are measures we can take as individuals and as a community to protect ourselves and our neighbors. The failure to take this pandemic seriously has deadly consequences. Please get vaccinated and wear masks when you're in public. Thank you.
Next caller, please.
Alugo, it is your turn to speak. You may unmute.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I'm Al Lugo, a Manchester resident. I'm concerned about the status of COVID-19 in Siskiyou County, especially over the from September 9th to 19th, recently, about 10 days. We've seen a large number of new cases of COVID and deaths here in this county. That is unacceptable. I would like you as Board of Supervisors, who are the leaders in Siskiyou County, to lead. This is not a political issue. It is a public health issue. Thus, this being a public health issue is important that you address it. You need to urge Siskiyou County residents to take measures to combat COVID, such as vaccinate, wear masks, and even social distance. Don't be a politician and bend whichever way the wind blows. But be a courageous person. Stand up and lead Siskiyou County out of this COVID morass we are currently in. Please understand, if we would have heeded what the public health officials had said at the beginning, we would not be where we are now. Thank you for allowing me to express my view.
Thank you. Next caller.
Caller ending in 8688, it is your turn to speak.
Good morning.
My name is Ann Persendahl. I live at 4515 Overload Road, Montague. In my honest opinion, the Board of Supervisors is on the wrong side of the issue regarding COVID-19. The Board of Supervisors need to listen and support the medical science regarding the best ways to manage this virus, COVID-19. The Board of Supervisors needs to listen to their public health physician, Dr. Aaron Stutz. He has the up-to-date information and recommendations from the CDC, FDA, the WHO, and importantly, the California Department of Public Health. The citizens of Siskiyou are not being protected by the elected Board of Supervisors. One only has to look at the current statistics in Siskiyou County as of yesterday, with a total of 50 deaths, 64 new COVID cases and a 7-day positivity rate of 17.1. You then know that the Board of Supervisors are not being protective of the people who elected them to serve. If the numbers of COVID-19 cases goes up, one needs to change the policies that are presently in place. In addition, you should be out front speaking to the need to slow and ultimately stop this virus. You should be supporting vaccinations, masking, distancing, decreased participation in large gatherings to protect not only your own family, but also the families and citizens of those you serve. It is not too late to pivot and do what is medically correct. I implore you to do what is right.
Thank you. Next caller.
Larry Marks, you may unmute. It is your turn to speak.
Hello, my name is Larry Marks, and I live in Wairika. Mr. Chairman, last Wednesday, Siskiyou County had a very bad day. With 69 new cases of COVID-19, we were 8.5 times the state per capita average. With 3 new deaths, we were 14.5 times average. I wish I could say that Wednesday was unique. It wasn't. The cause is the terrible vaccination rate in parts of the county and the county as a whole. For example, Wairika's vaccination rate as of last Wednesday is 43%. And any 5 people, 3 of them won't be vaccinated likely. As of last night, our very limited hospital beds, 19 of our very limited hospital beds, are devoted to COVID. But people are still getting heart attacks. They need beds too. Your help, Mr. Chairman, is needed to get us out of this COVID hell. But so far, the board has been anything but helpful. Here is an example of what I mean. I am old. I need care to maintain my good health. Being old, I am more likely than most to have a bad outcome should I get a breakthrough case of COVID. Your vote against requiring health workers to be vaccinated would mean that when I go to Fairchild, I may come face to face with some unvaccinated, virus-laden, freedom-loving, but nobody else-loving caregiver. Surely you can do better than this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Next caller.
Ann Perry, you may unmute. It is your turn to speak.
Good morning. My name is Ann Perry. I live on Schulmeyer Road in Wairika District 4. There are many challenges facing this board, some of which take us into uncharted waters, but one of them has a clear course ahead. The steps to COVID control are clearly laid out for us by our medical experts at the local, state, and federal levels. All we have to do is support and follow them. I have 2 points I would like to emphasize. The first point is the pandemic is not going away. In Siskiyou County, we are experiencing COVID surges, as you know, with many more cases than at any other time. This board is, in my opinion, undermining our very own health department. I'm deeply concerned that recent messaging and actions by this board have led to misinformation, community confusion, and division. Please listen to your medical experts and show leadership for all of us. My second point, I was moved to speak today after reading the letter regarding masking to Governor Newsom. This was a rather pointless waste of time, in my opinion. There are many of us in Siskiyou County who support masking and vaccination protocols. We're not carrying signs at your meetings. We're not displaying gold stars or portraying a message of personal freedom above community awareness. But we are here and we are paying attention. I was sickened by the comparison to the Holocaust victims by some protesters. The public perception that this board supports such a point of view is alarming. You can do better. You can show compassionate leadership without pandering to an anti-science vocal minority by amplifying a message based on science, inclusion, and cooperation for community healing. It will indeed take a village. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller.
Next caller's already spoken.
Okay. If there's any other callers who want to be recognized online, please press star 9 at this time. Okay. One more in-house public comment.
This is Wendy Winningham. I'm Deputy County Clerk and Clerk for the Board of Supervisors. Just wanted to get it out there that the County Clerk's Office will be conducting a public meeting tonight via Zoom, and it has to do with redistricting. It's at 6 p.m., and there are links on our agenda, which is our public meeting notice, not an agenda, which is posted online. And you can certainly call our office if anybody has any questions on how to connect with that meeting. Again, it's at 6 p.m. tonight, and it has to do with redistricting and public outreach.
Thank you. All right, with that, I'm going to move to consent agenda. Wishes of the board?
I'd like to pull item D.
D as in what?
D as in Dan.
D as in Dan. Any others? I'll make a motion to approve with the exception of item D.
Second.
Okay.
Motion and a second, Wendy.
Okay, let's see. We've got Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
And then Supervisor Kopseff is absent. So 4-0 carries. Thank you.
Aye. Supervisor Chris.
Now, I just have to recuse myself from this because I have worked for them in the past.
Move to approve. Second.
Okay.
Wendy.
There we go. Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
So 3 and Chris recused. Thank you.
Okay. With that, I'll move to item 6A, Shasta Trinity National Forest, presentation and recreation fees on Forest Service lands. I believe we have someone online going to make a presentation.
Carolyn Napper. She's down there. Where is she? Right. Keep going up. Oh, there she is. There you go. Carolyn Napper, you may address the board.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
This is Carolyn Napper with the Shasta Trinity National Forest.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, thank you all for providing this opportunity for the Shasta Trinity National Forest to present information on the proposed fee proposal for some of our recreation sites. I did provide some information to the Board of Supervisors, and I was just going to run through that material now so that everybody could hear as well what the proposal involves, and then answer any questions that you may have, as well as hear your feedback on recommendations for us. We are definitely receptive to ideas and suggestions, and want this to be something that the Board of Supervisors supports as we move forward. I do want to mention I have two other people that are on the line with us. That's Rebecca Cooper. Rebecca Cooper is our District Recreation Officer, and Jennifer Womack is our Recreation Special Use administrator. So they are on the line for any questions that may come up or any additional information that I might not be able to provide. So if it's okay with the board, I'll just start right now and jump into the short presentation.
Quick question, Carolyn. The two individuals you mentioned, are they district employees or forest?
They are district employees.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so the Federal Lands Recreation Enhancement Act from 2004 allows federal agencies to charge fees on public lands. We're not charging fees. There are certain requirements for charging those fees, and that's to provide amenities that are provided at a facility, such as amenities might be toilet, parking facility, garbage, signage, those types of things. 95% of the fees collected do remain on the forest where they're generated, so those fees come back to us. 5% go to the region. And so if you're looking at the slides, you can advance it to slide number 3. The current fees that we're getting on the forest, on our district, are the Mount Shasta Summit annual pass, the 3-day pass. We charge a fee for the McLeod boat ramp, developed campgrounds, some of our developed group campsites, as well as our lookouts at our cabin rentals like Little Mount Hoffman and Girard Ridge. Going to the next slide, number 4, this is what we're proposing and this is what we would like your input on. There are 4 new overnight fee sites at existing campgrounds. So we have the Trout Creek and the Algoma campground that are currently free. We do provide facilities there where we have to pump toilets. And again, we want to provide a good recreation experience. And so those 2 sites would have an additional, would have a new fee. Also, Castle Lake Campground and Panther Meadows Campground are also free at this time. So those 2 have amenities which we would be looking to charge a fee so that we can maintain them. We do have a campground host at these facilities, and they are full all season long. The other things that we would be looking for is for our day use sites. So we have 12 day use sites that we've identified out there at the McLeod River Loop, the Everett Memorial, and then Castle Lake, Parks Creek Trailhead, and Snowman's Hill. So on those, we're looking for a $5 a day use fee, or you could get an annual pass. We do have quite a bit of use, especially at the McLeod River Loop. Actually, all these facilities have a lot of use. We are providing services to the visiting public. We've installed new facilities at these day use sites. So we're looking to charge a fee for those. And as I said, a $5 per day fee, or you could get an annual pass to visit those. Going on to the next slide, the proposed increase of fees on SMU is we've looked at some of the existing developed campgrounds and group campgrounds and looking at increasing the fees slightly from $10 to $15, up to $25. And you know, the way we've worked with our, with other forests in the area, they compare prices kind of much like you would look at hotels or something like that. What's the current price of what's available out there? What's the going fee? And so based on those, some of those fees are recommended to be increased. The next slide, which would be number 6 there, you know, talks about 63% of the day use and overnight developed sites on the Shasta Trinity are free. In our own Siskiyou County, 87% of the day use and overnight developed sites are currently free. If we do implement these new fees, you'll see that 47% of developed sites on the forest will continue to be free, and 51% would remain free in Siskiyou County. The majority of the dispersed recreation sites on the forest would remain free for public to use and enjoy. You know, we do know that these are, you know, we're fortunate enough to manage these forests, but these are the public's forest. We do have existing federal recreation use passes that are still available and would be honored. And I just wanted to share with the Board of Supervisors, we've been getting out the fourth grade passes this past week, and that is provided to every fourth grade student in our area so that they have free use of the national forest. They can, the kids can take their parents and siblings out. So we try to ensure that people have that opportunity to visit their national forest. The next slide talks a little bit about the current use of the fees, what we do with that money. And again, we said that we get 95.
If you're there, we've lost you, lost the audio.
Still turn. For those online, we're having some technical difficulties right now. We're trying to work out. Becky Cooper? Is there a Becky Cooper on your phone? She's here. This is her, though, right here.
So while we have a moment, Cecilia, you know, with all the people that were online for the public comment period, I think it's pertinent, because I do believe we're in a crisis thing, if you look at Fairchild with the COVID, to have our public health give us an update until we get through this.
Sure.
I think that's, you know, an emergency, quite honestly.
Okay, I'm sorry, I just have some technical difficulties, so just got back on and was sharing with you the current use of fees on slide number seven. So those are how we use those fees that are collected, and then going on to slide eight, if you would, some of the collections and expenses that we have. So you can see on the left side of your screen how much we collected each year, and certainly it varies, you know, oftentimes because of the wildfires, quite honestly. And, you know, we've had the forest closed recently, and you can see in 2018 our numbers were down too. But still, we have the operating expenses, and I know as a county, you can certainly understand those. And things have not gotten any cheaper over the years. So the use of the new fees, if we go on to slide number nine, is, you know, the whole idea of the amenities fees is really to put that money back into these sites. So, you know, campground facilities, the infrastructure such as picnic tables, toilets, fire rings, they degrade over time. They have to be upgraded. there's different, you know, security and law enforcement patrols. I will say, as many of you know, in the Mount Shasta area, we have a big problem with some of our uses. So we have a lot of need for additional security and law enforcement patrols to try and provide good recreation opportunities for all, so that people aren't afraid to camp at some of these facilities. And we have been launching more interpretation through staff and signs throughout the area. And we've done this, you know, not only with the RIA fees, we have also looked for other funds as well. But the bottom line is, as you know, the appropriated dollars that we get for recreation is going down, has been going down, so we become more dependent on these RIA fees. Things like plowing up the road up to Mount Shasta, that's an opportunity for us to work together as a Forest Service and with the county, because we know of your outstanding support to provide that recreational experience. These fees would enable some of that funding. So that next slide 10, I think, is a little bit better. It explains why here and why now. As I said, the funding has decreased, even though we've seen a lot of data on how much money recreation brings into the area. We still are seeing a lot of increasing use. Certainly last year was a huge year. The costs are continuing to increase, and you know, we want to provide these sites to be maintained and opened and keep generating some revenue and really providing that outstanding recreational experience. So the last slide, you know, we have looked at partnering and volunteers. We do have a pretty good volunteer group that has helped us out. But a lot of times volunteers don't want to, you know, clean restrooms. They don't necessarily want to pick up trash. So it's limited in what they can do. But of course, we appreciate any support we can get. We have pursued grant money, and we've been very successful with getting our Oversnow vehicle grant funds to support the winter recreation program. And that's huge because Mount Shasta and even the McLeod Flats often are some of the areas with the most snow. But there is a lot of competition for that grant funding, and there's no guarantee that we'll get it each year. A couple years ago, in 2019, we started with donations so that people could just donate as they hike on a trail, if they wanted to support the Forest Service. And so those fees that are collected, or not fees, those donations, go back into improving the site where people visit. So if you visit up there at Bunny Flat, those funds go right back to Bunny Flat. So over 3 years, we've collected $11,000 from donations. So we opened up the comment period on this fee proposal in May. We're interested in hearing your ideas and suggestions. We're totally open to any recommendations you have, and we're going through all the other comments that we've received at this time. At this point, I want to open it up to the Board of Supervisors, to all of you, for any comments that you have and any recommendations you have to the Shasta Trinity National Forest. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to bring it back to the board here. I have a few questions, Carolyn. You may or may not have the answers to these, but I'm interested in them. The first one is, I'd like to know, I guess, what the overhead fees collected off the dollars from the Washington office and the regional office are, so I actually truly know what money's hitting the ground.
So 95, okay, so if you could somebody unmute Rebecca Cooper? And then she'll jump in and answer that question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Rebecca, are you there?
I am. Good morning, everyone. So just to clarify, were you asking about our appropriated funding or still the money associated with the Recreation Enhancement Act?
That was my next question, but you can give both of them to me.
Okay. So our appropriated money is, I can tell you about the fact that in the last 3 years, is it has decreased dramatically enough that we're only getting 11% of what we were getting 3 years ago. 3 years ago, we were getting about $60,000 of appropriated funds to manage our non-RIA sites, and this year it went down to $13,000. And so you can tell that was a pretty big hit for us, and so as you can see, just within the last 3 years, is it's decreased quite a bit. So again, it's decreased to only 11% of what we were gaining even 3 years ago. If you go to slide 8 again, if you could pull that up, is what you can see is what we've been generating with our current RIA funds that we've got on our district is it varies. And as Carolyn was mentioning, is we get 95% of this money back every year. And what that money goes toward is all of our, and you can see the expenses on the right, is it goes for maintenance of all of these facilities, all of our seasonal employees that maintain all of the facilities. Garbage is a huge expense. Toilet pumping is a very large expense. And so this kind of gives you an overview of when you look at that, of how we are currently operating within the RIA funds. We are actually stepping out with our RIA program right now, in which all of our seasonals and recreation staff still maintain our free sites, and we do that by utilizing the RIA money because our seasonal staff are 100% funded by what we generate.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sorry. Carolyn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Next question I had was, I think when we first saw this announcement, what we were reacting to was we saw parking fees and entry fees, and if you recall, about 20 years ago, there was quite a bit of discussion centered around having a fee just to be able to park anywhere in the National Forest. That's what I was hesitant in seeing, and I guess from your presentation that's not the case on the forest?
That's correct. What we are saying is those day use fees, so you can get instead a yearly pass, you know, so that, you know, if you love to go to McLeod Falls, you might want to get a yearly pass instead of paying $5 when you go. But if you go out woodcutting or if you're driving around the forest, there is no fee for that.
All right, thank you for that clarification.
Sure.
I'm a little bit perplexed at why, and maybe it's just because Siskiyou County, why we're only talking about the McLeod Ranger and McLeod Manchester Ranger District and not whether or not this program is being instituted forest-wide.
It is being instituted forest-wide. So we just were presenting to you what were some of the changes, you know, focus, given the time frame that we had for Siskiyou County, but in Trinity County, they also gave a presentation. I think Jennifer Womack can speak to that. She helped present, and they're looking at very much the same thing. It's increasing some of the fees in campgrounds. So very similar to what we presented, and it is forest-wide. So if you, if you want more explanation on all the other sites throughout the forest, we can do that. This is not just a Shasta Trinity project. It is a it's not just Shasta McLeod Management Unit, it's the Shasta Trinity National Forest.
Okay, thank you. I'd clarify that because of a large number of my constituents in Scott Valley actually recreate Trinity Lake on that side of the forest. One more question, I'll turn it to the rest of the board and see if they have questions. Does the county receive any tax receipts off of the fee collected at these sites under this program?
So I'd like to see if we could unmute either Rebecca Cooper or Jennifer Womack, because they have been doing the ins and outs of that. So Jen or Becky, can you?
Jen is with me if we need to have her chime in, but no, the county does not receive any of it. But what we would like to do is, if this fee proposal moves forward, is we would like to start working with the county and establish an agreement, whether that's an MOU or a challenge cost share, in which we can turn around and help with such things as snow plowing for Everett Memorial Highway and Castle Lake. We know that that is a big ticket item for the county, and it costs a lot of money to keep those open, but it is very high recreation use areas for those. And so that's a way that we would still like to work collaboratively together and partner to continue to provide various recreation opportunities for the public.
So I guess my concern in bringing that up is the fact that you're exempt then from the 25% tax receipts on other expenditures or collections on national forest lands. I guess what's a little disturbing to me is that you can collect for that, yet the county roads that are taking a beating are not, there's not a program to help maintain those. The 25% receipts would be the way to do that, but this program seems to be exempt from that.
Yeah, and that's something else that, with what Carolyn was saying, is that we would like to work together on that. And so there would be those opportunities to look at what type of an agreement we could put in there to help offset some of the costs of maintenance of those county roads that lead to recreation sites that charge a fee. When we did an estimated for this, is again, it's looking at a forest wide. But we are averaging and thinking that we could generate anywhere from $600,000 to $875,000 annually. Oh, excuse me, that's just a unit for the $875,000 that would be available. And again, 95% would come back to us, but we could use that across the board with anything that is associated with helping maintain these sites that we are charging a fee at.
Okay, I'd like to remind you and any other forest that may be listening, we have a stewardship agreement with your forest and the other forests within our county boundary. And a stewardship agreement's already in place that allows that kind of cost sharing.
Right, yeah, that's what I was gonna say is that's a tool for us to use as we move forward with this. And in previous years, Todd LaManna and I had gone through to try to set up an agreement so that the Forest Service could help pay some salaries and funds for the road work that was being done within the forest. So we were not able to get that all the way through, but I think with this kind of with these kinds of resources and now the MSA, we would be well positioned to do this. And I just want to say that we really want to move this forward with the county. I can't thank you all enough for your support this past summer with the lava fire and all the other fires that we've had on the district and helping us with closing areas where we needed to for public health and safety. So just wanted to shout out for an outstanding group there that has been so responsive when I've given a call. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to come back to the rest of the board.
So, Ranger Knapper, Supervisor Valenzuela. So if I heard you correctly, because as you well know, that Ever Memorial is in my district and the county plows that road, so we would be able to get some support there with through this?
Yes, that is correct, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay, and then, as an example for myself, a couple weeks ago, just before you shut the forest was shut down, I took a drive out to Gumboot Lake. This fee increase would not affect that when I just want to take a quick day trip somewhere?
That's correct. Yeah, I mean, you're more than free to drive around the National Forest. Right. I mean, if you're going up to one of our day use sites, such as Castle Lake Day Use area, to park there and enjoy that recreational opportunity, that would be a $5 day use fee. But if you're going up to Gumboot, there would be no fee associated with that.
Okay, thank you.
You switch back to slide 6 or 5 really quick. Is that again outlines out which location? So it's actually going to be 4. Thank you. So number 4 identifies what sites we would charge a fee. Everything else would still be free.
Okay. That's in the record.
Thank you, Ranger Knapper, for coming before us electronically on this. I am interested in the details regarding the snow pond for Everett Memorial and in Castle Lake. I take it that will probably be taken care of between staff and come back to us on what those numbers will be. But that's I know I'm back in Iowa Driver down in District 2. For search and rescue, I know the county puts a large bill on that for search and rescue as long as with the volunteers. So how much of this would go towards compensating the county for services with search and rescue?
So yes, let me go back to the first part of your statement or question. Definitely, in terms of the Everett Memorial, Castle Lake Road, I think there are lots of opportunities out there, and that's something where we really need to get together and look at what those are. There are other funding opportunities as well. Where do we as a community want to go with those areas? We know that we've had parking problems over the past several years. Are there opportunities to modify that parking, to enhance it for recreational experience? Many of you know about our South Fork Sacramento project, and I'm very concerned about the Castle Lake Road in terms of one way in and one way out. Lots of recreationists up there, and in the event of a fire, how would people get out? So there's some bigger issues that we're trying to tackle, and I want to do that together with the county, and again, maybe through the use of the master stewardship agreement, we could come up with some solutions. But definitely, we'd like to sit down and work with you in terms of what would be best for plowing and maintenance of those two critical recreational access routes on the unit. In terms of the search and rescue, that's another area that we need to take a deeper dive into. I know Supervisor Valenzuela has brought this up to me and previous Supervisor Russell. There are fees. There is money that the county does get towards search and rescue. And I don't have those right in front of me or how that breakdown goes, but there are some. It is a big program. It's a big program for us as well. But I'm more than willing to, at some point, get into what looks good to all of us, because I know we have the same objectives in terms of ensuring the health and safety of the visiting recreation public, as well as our volunteers. So we take various, we feel it's very important to ensure training of those volunteers. And on our half of things, you know, to have the expertise of our climbing rangers to go up and down that mountain, you know, climbing anywhere from, you know, 6,000 feet to perform a rescue under difficult conditions is something that I'm very concerned about. And, you know, I do that largely on a temporary staffing. So those are not permanent employees. So part of those fees would enable us to ensure that we could get permanent employees and that they could be compensated, because some of those employees are probably making very minimal amounts and could probably make as much, you know, working at Starbucks. So those are some of the things. I'm more than willing to get into the nuts and bolts with you all on that. I think this type of fee proposal allows us, you know, some of those discussions that we previously have not been able to have.
No, thank you. I appreciate also what you said about volunteers. You can only expect so much of volunteers, so at some point you do have to, you know, to pay folks for that. So I'll, and then the last thing is just going to bring up the McLeod Falls. I know from McLeod Falls, McLeod Fire Department, McLeod Community Service District has been responding out there quite a bit. Would any of this go towards work out there, or work or responses out there?
Well, I'm hoping also, you know, we've been doing some vehicle counts out there, and I can't remember exactly the numbers, but as we mentioned, it seems like the McLeod Falls area has been in many newspaper articles, and so we get about 30,000 vehicles annually visiting that area. So that's why the $5 day use fee will really help us and enable us to staff it more. I do certainly appreciate, you know, the great work of the McLeod Fire Department. Charlie Miller has been so supportive this year. So again, we can work on things. I'm hoping that we could get full staffing levels out there with some of these fees. But if we were not, you know, we can certainly look into some of those details as we move forward with this.
And then just to finish off with a compliment, I appreciate the work you've done on, is separate from this, but the work you did on Highway 89 and field breaks around the community of McLeod. Wonderful work.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I'll stop here, Mr. Chair.
Okay. One more question here.
Supervisor Overton here. In collecting these day use fees, do you have an employee collecting those fees, or is that an honor system? How does that work?
Yeah, you know what we have? I think they're called the Iron Ranger. You know, that you stick the fee in the fee tube, and then we go out and collect them and bring them in. But there are lots of different options. And if Becky Cooper is still unmuted, you know, she could share some of the options that she's been considering to make this easy for folks. So, Becky, if you wanted to share.
Sure. So yeah, we've got the V-tube sites directly at the site itself, and for those that don't have them, is we would put in a V-tube site. We also plan on putting these on recreation.gov, and so people could go to that site and either purchase a day pass or an annual pass through that, or we're planning on selling it not only at the ranger stations, but with some of our local vendors that are supporting our program as well. And so we do plan on having a variety of options for people to be able to play or pay. We most likely will also have some of our folks end up becoming enforcement or compliance officers. And what they'll be able to do is check and ensure compliance. And really our focus is just educating people, and it is going to be based a lot on the honor system, but every little bit will help our program out.
Right, and then with that, I understand that anybody coming into the area is going to be perfectly probably fine with a $5 day use fee, but for the folks that frequent places like a Cloud Falls and especially Castle Lake, it'll be a big surprise the first time they visit in a season when all of a sudden there's a $5 fee. And I realize $5 isn't a lot, but is there going to be any kind of an outreach program or postings on social media or anything that's going to warn people about the fee?
Yeah, we definitely will be doing that, and we have posted at all the sites so that people could comment. So we had that up all summer long so that people that were visiting would have that information and be aware that potentially, you know, fees could be increased. And I noticed the same thing on the adjacent forest. The Modoc National Forest was looking to have fees at their Medicine Lake boat launch. So those are all posted so that the public knows. I'm sure there'll be some that are surprised by it, but we'll do our best to get out a good information and public relations, you know, as this proceeds forward.
Great, thank you.
Well, thank you for the presentation. I'm sure we'll provide comment as a county to the process, and appreciate you being here today, Carolyn.
Yeah, thank you all very much. Really appreciate, as I said, all your support this past summer. And I did want to just share some good news. It does sound like we should be looking at reopening the Forest Service over the next few months and back to work with probably most all employees in the new year. So that's something that we're really excited about. Well, at least I am. So look forward to providing good support to the community and to the visiting public and to our local public. So thank you all for the opportunity today.
Thank you. Okay. We're gonna move down to the budget item.
Mr. Chair, we're moving down to the budget item. I know we used to have the SOPAs. Rick Costales, he was Natural Resource. Statement of Proposed Actions, I think.
Yes.
We used to have it come before the board all the time.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if we need to have it come before the board all the time, but if it could maybe just be emailed to us. For the Forest Service actions they're going to do, like range permits. We used to provide comment and all that stuff. And it's just crossed my mind now. I wanted to say it was on the top of my mind. Maybe either before the board or just email it to us. So if we need to provide comments as a board on certain stuff that comes before us.
Will do.
All right. If the board's in agreement with that, yeah.
Sure. I think it's appropriate given the impact of the fires too.
Yeah.
And where the forests are headed over the next 6 to 12 months.
You know, we have so much on our plate. It's sometimes we forget about things that we should be doing on a regular basis. They not. We should have, particularly when we have a low agenda item. They have a quarterly, at least a quarterly.
Okay. Item 12B. So this is a continued hearing.
No. Open. Just open a hearing. Yep.
Thank you. I'm going to open a public hearing for the budget process in the county, and looking for reading of the order and a presentation into the record. And I believe Davis, that's you.
Wendy,
you know,
well,
after Wendy.
Yes.
Okay.
It would be the presentation of staff reports, if any, presentation of correspondence, presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by other county staff and departments, proponents, arguments, or evidence, and then opponents, arguments, or evidence. There will be a time for public comments, rebuttal by both proponents and opponents, close the hearing, and then discussion by the board for motion and discussion.
Okay. So with that, I will be looking at a presentation of staff report.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Hopp, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. Before you today is the fiscal year 2021-2022 adopted budget. It is recommended that the board take the following actions. One, adopt a resolution which A, adopts the fiscal year 2021-2022 Siskiyou County budget and have approved all additions and deletions to the recommended budget for fiscal year 2021-2022. Of which includes finance uses by unit, intra-fund transfers by unit, transfers out by fund, appropriations for contingencies by fund, provisions for restricted and committed accounts by fund and purpose and financing sources, and two, adopt the county statement of allocated positions and salary schedule by attachment, and three, adopt a resolution amending the Siskiyou County salary table and personnel allocation list. The fiscal year 2021-2022 adopted budget as presented is in the amount of $320,763,930. I would like to just point out just a couple items within the budget. First, with regards to the sheriff, we did unfreeze, or it's a position that was budgeted but yet did not have any allocation for two deputy sheriffs, as well as we added an additional deputy sheriff. We also added a community service officer, and that is in order to support the sheriff's department with the department goals. And also I'd like to make note of contributions to others. We did add a contribution of $1,000 to the Siskiyou Outdoor Recreation Alliance, SORA, in the amount, as I stated, $1,000. So that has been included. And so other than that, it is as presented. I would like to thank all of the department heads, as well as the fiscal staff that worked on this adopted budget, as well as the county budget team. Specifically, I'd like to call out Rachel York for all of her work that she did with the departments. She is our deputy CAO and did a bumper job with this adopted budget presented to you today, as well as the Board of Supervisors for your support. So with that, I'm presenting to you a balanced budget, and if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
I've got a quick question. What was SORA again?
Siskiyou Outdoor Recreation Alliance.
Thank you.
Recreation Alliance.
Okay. Thank you.
To jump in, I think that's a good seed money investment. I know she's interested in not just South County, but the whole county, so I think it's a good...
Well, maybe this is just the opportunity time to cover it. It's signed us the SB for us to be in the nature deal. So she was a lead on that.
So, presentation of correspondence.
There's been no correspondence at the clerk's level.
Presentation of reports, arguments, evidence of staff, or other county departments or public agencies. Seeing none. Proponents' arguments. I'm going to go to public comment. We have a public comment on this hearing for the budget. Process. So if you raise your hand by pressing star 9, we'll recognize you to speak at this time. Seeing none. Closing a seat? Or yes? I'm kind of flying blind because I don't have a sheet of budget in here for some reason.
What kind of sheet?
Agenda worksheet.
It's in there. It's on the top.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
I went through there three times. I couldn't find it. Huh. So, okay.
There's a comment online.
So with that, I'm going to close the hearing and bring.
Through the chair, we do have someone online, Jason Ledbetter.
Okay. Good morning, Jason.
Yeah, good morning. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to make one comment. Appreciate the county admin office and all the hard work they did on the budget. and the hard work that they're currently doing. I do have two departments that we're hoping next year to look at some salary increases, and I just wanted to bring to the board's attention that the building maintenance position and the bus driver positions are very crucial to my success in general services, and we need to reevaluate those pay structures, and I'm currently working with Melissa Cummins and Rachel York on those two items. I just wanted to bring that to your guys' attention because I am having difficulty hiring for both of those positions. That's my only comment.
Thank you. My direction to the CAO has been to handle pay increases on an assessment basis countywide rather than piecemeal, like we've done in the past, so that we have some kind of a, or at least I have some kind of a understanding of a countywide assessment of competitive pay.
Correct, and through the chair, Angela Davis, County Administrator, I would also like to remind the board that we do have a process in place through each of the MOUs, so it is not just as simple as making a range adjustment. We have to present it to the bargaining unit specifically, so we would prefer not to go down that route, that it should be done through negotiation so that it is a fair and equitable process throughout the county.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Discussion by the board.
Move to approve.
We have a couple of different things to approve.
I'll second.
First would be the resolution that adopts the county budget.
Okay.
Is that the one we're making a motion on?
Sure.
Okay,
second,
thank you.
Please.
Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Thank you. And then the next one is a county adoption of a resolution, the county statement of allocated positions and salary schedule by attachment.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Okay. And then the resolution amending the salary table and personnel allocation list.
So moved.
Second.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you. I think that was all
Thank
of
you.
Them, correct?
Yes, you are correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy.
What a good look that all four of us got to participate in that budget approval. Yeah. Well, Chip, you know, the public needs to know that we're all basically on board.
Sure. Yes, and I appreciate that very much. Yes.
So I do appreciate the hard work that goes into these things, and I know, you know, I don't get an opportunity to express that during those times when you're going through that. I do know the tremendous sacrifice across the departments. I wish I could say there's a rosier picture coming forward, but I don't see it.
And I think one of the things that I have to, we all have to kind of look at, it's never going to be 100%. There's never going to be where we're all focused in the game on every little item. But you know, it should be, as we all know, given that.
Yeah. So I'm going to move up and pick up 12A right here while we're in public hearing process, and I believe all I'm going to do is announce a continuance. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do I need a vote on that?
I would continue. Yeah, I would do a motion on it.
Okay. Move to continue to, do we have a date?
I believe they wanted October 5.
October 5th.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Okay, Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Want to do 12C while we're here and do some money?
I can. Item 12C. This is the second reading, I believe. So
correct.
I'm
and
not opening the protocol, but I follow the protocol. Presentation of staff, there's a staff report with us.
And I'll note, I think Natalie Reed is on Zoom, and she may have some comments or thoughts.
And Natalie, can you hear us?
Reed.
Good morning.
We don't have, an extensive staff report. This is the second reading of an ordinance to grant Pacific Corps a franchise for the use of county rights of way for their facilities. And if the board has any questions, then I am available.
Thank you. Any correspondence?
Not at the clerk's level.
Reports from other staff? Public comment. Public comment on the franchise agreement. Press star 9 on your phone so you can be recognized. Seeing none, I'm going to close the hearing, bring that back, discussion with the board. If there's no discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second, Wendy.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. You okay, Wendy?
Maybe take a little break. A minute. That'd be nice.
We'll recess for five.